to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show here. It's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. What a wild day it is. There are so many things going on. Breaking story right now. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But I want to start off real quick. We had actually good day for the Dow. The government started announcing they're going to pull back on some of these regulatory proposals, and the Dow exploded 175 points upward. So basically, Obama is saying we're going to let Wall Street go on playing the games, the casino games, that got us into this mess. And, of course, Wall Street said, yee-haw, and they went back to the Dow and started spinning the wheel. All right, I know a lot of you want to hear this. We advertised it earlier today. Cynthia McKinney is on the island of Cyprus. She is with the Free Gaza people. They are trying to get permission to sail over to Gaza with a load of cement. Here's the problem. The government of Israel attacked Gaza, Operation Cast Lead. They bombed houses, schools, hospitals. Israel's attitude is they can rebuild using mud if they're really desperate about rebuilding Gaza. Cement is one of the items that is supposed to be allowed in to allow the Gazans to rebuild their homes after Israel's last attack. Israel's trying to block it. And so earlier today, I spoke with Cynthia McKinney. There's a time zone issue. It's 1 in the morning on Cyprus, and I didn't expect Cynthia to stay up that late. So we did a pre-recorded interview, and here we go. So welcoming to our show Cynthia McKinney, calling us from, I presume you're on Cyprus still at this moment.
Yes, we are, and we have just received a communication from the State Department, not only informing us of the travel advisory that was initially issued for travel to Gaza in 2003, but also quoting to us Israel policy. Now, I'm somewhat dumbfounded by the fact that the State Department is quoting Israeli policy to us. Well, we would rather they quote U.S. policy to Israel. And the reports are that the White House sent Israel a message. And in that message was the request for an easing of the blockade of Gaza. It is reported that that note also included a specific reference to medical supplies and to building supplies, including cement. Cement is exactly what we have on our boat. We have medical supplies also on our boat. And so the question that I have is the president ready to stand behind his policy? And maybe he should make it clear to all of us what U.S. policy really is. Is his policy, as is reported, which is that he supports an easing of the blockade of Gaza? And if that is the case, then the president should step up, step forward, stand behind his own words, stand behind his policy, and send a message to the Israelis that the Free Gaza boat should be allowed to proceed.
Well, I absolutely agree, but I think one of the most troubling things I've seen, I received one of the communications from your representative, something to the effect that Israel is, of course, putting a tremendous amount of pressure on the government of Cyprus to prevent you from sailing, even to the point where the government of Cyprus is threatening to directly intervene with the boats, possibly even to disable them, all supposedly to protect you from harming yourselves out on the ocean.
Now, I was not a part of that conversation, but that is exactly what the Free Gaza representative came back and told all of us. There are 36 of us from 14 countries. Her report was just that the Cyprus authorities are willing to disable the boat in order to prevent us from sailing.
Well, that sounds very, very extreme. Okay, I guess the most obvious question right now is, what can people do to assist you in getting this mission through to Gaza? Because we're all sitting here watching this collective punishment, this enforced mass starvation. We've all seen these horrible, horrible war crimes during Operation Cast Lead. Just sitting here listening to radio is all well and good. What can we actually do?
I would request that the audience, the listening audience, contact the White House and ask the White House to please stand behind their own policy and say that we take President Obama's words seriously, and therefore he should stand by his words and allow us to provide relief for Gaza. That's one thing. The other thing is that people can contact members of Congress and also ask members of Congress to take a stand on this. This is a humanitarian relief effort for people who have visibly been horribly treated by the Israelis with U.S. weapons. And so the United States is complicit in this. If it is the policy of President Obama to disengage our complicity, now is the time for that to happen. We need members of Congress to stand up. We need the White House to stand up. We need the State Department to stand up and say, let the Free Gaza boats go.
Cynthia McKinney, thank you very much for spending some time with us. I know you're incredibly busy with preparations there, and I know you must be very concerned about what the future is going to hold, and our thoughts and wishes are with you in the Free Gaza Project. Good luck, and stay safe, and continue to do what you're doing. It's just wonderful work. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All right, that was Cynthia McKinney on the Skype earlier today from Cyprus. And as of the last word, they are still being prevented from departing by the Cypriot authorities, again, under pressure from Israel. And apparently Israel's political design here is to prevent aid from getting into Gaza, but to do it in such a way that it's not overtly Israel doing the blockading. Now they're trying to get Cyprus to do their dirty work for them, or they're trying to get civilians and non-military to do it. There's that other blockade where Israel's saying, we'll let the food through, and then the settlers say, no, we won't, and it just goes back and forth. But the end result is collective punishment on the people, the civilians of Gaza. This is a war crime under UN rules and regulations, the Geneva Conventions, international treaty. It is a war crime. Israel is continuing to punish the people of Gaza for daring to be on the land that Israel's religion says is supposed to belong to them. Now, I want to point out one more thing before we move along. There's a lot of stuff going on here. I want to point out that Israel's membership in the United Nations had conditions on it, and the condition was that the Palestinians' right of return to their own lands be recognized by Israel. And if the Palestinians chose not to come back, they were to be compensated. They were to be paid for their homes and lands from which they had been driven by Israel. Israel has never complied with those requirements. Israel's membership in the United Nations is therefore null and void. It doesn't take a vote of the General Assembly. It doesn't take a vote of the Security Council. Israel has failed to keep its agreement to be a member of the United Nations, and we need to start pounding on that situation. All right, moving right along, what an incredible news day. If you're following along the news, we are getting mixed reports here on Michael Jackson. I know normally we don't do celebrity news, but some sources are saying that Michael Jackson has passed away from a heart attack. The LA Times is saying he's still alive but in a deep coma. You know, it's just going to be going crazy. And, of course, earlier today, Farrah Fawcett passed away. It's a bad day for celebrities and stuff. And the story behind that, of course, is Governor Sanford is saying he's sorry for his sexual dalliances, all of his little things. And have you noticed behind all the celebrity news and sex scandals, notice how the story about the Iranian protests has just all of a sudden gone away? I think the whole thing has kind of stumbled. I know out on the Twitterverse, they're still trying to push this idea. Mousavi is now down to this thing. He's calling to his followers. The protests have been called off. The violence has been called off. Everything's on hold. Mousavi is telling his followers to get green balloons. Buy green balloons, blow them up, put them out the window, and let them float up to the sky. Folks, if Mousavi is down to playing publicity stunts with balloons, this thing is all over. The coup d'etat has failed miserably. All the more so because if you blow up a balloon and put it out the window, it's going to fall down to the street. You need a tank of helium. Or if you're really desperate and love risks, hydrogen, to blow up the balloon so it'll fly up in the sky. So this is really feeling more and more like it just absolutely started falling apart here. Now, on the front page of whatreallyhappened.com, I put up a new story called Iran Protests the Flag of the Shah. Oh, my goodness. We're at the... Okay, hang on to that thought. Hang on to all of that. We're going to be back after these words from our sponsors. Join us on the air, 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Maxed out all their in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just trash yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Boy, looking at the TV feed that we have here in the studio, there is nothing else happening in the entire universe except for Michael Jackson. Is he dead? Is he not? Starting to remind me already of Generalissimo Francisco Franco when they were trying to say, he's dead. No, he isn't. Yes, he is. No, he isn't. All of this, of course, is just going to drive up the value of any Michael Jackson memorabilia. It's going to skyrocket his album sales. They're going to be pumping this as hard as they can to make as much money out of this as they can. And the reason I'm kind of sensitive to this issue is I actually worked with Michael Jackson twice when he was really, really young, when he was still with the Jackson 5. And I remember my impression of him was this was a kid who was so surrounded by handlers and promoters and managers and agents and stuff. This was a kid who was never going to get a chance to be an ordinary little boy and was kind of messed up for his entire life there. We also, amazingly enough, have the exact same birthday, August 29th, which blows the theory of astrology out of the water here. Now, getting back to Iran, however, we're talking about the issue of the flags. And as I pointed out several times over the last couple of weeks, the flag that is being flown by the protesters in all these protests in front of the White House and all over America, it is not the flag of present-day Iran. It is the flag of the Shah, the Pahlavi dynasty. And I've been putting that out on Twitter, and the Twitterverse, the propagandists coming back saying, well, that's no big deal. That's the real flag of Iran. Okay, where did it come from? This flag has not been used for 30 years. It's not like it's just sitting in Flags Are Us, ready to be picked up by nostalgic Iranians and waved around the place. And certainly looking at the creases on the fabric, these are obviously brand new flags. Somebody ordered these. Somebody paid to have them manufactured. We have emails from one of our readers was at the protest in San Francisco who said there was a van there that was just handing out flags to anybody who wanted them. The people taking the flags had no idea that the flag they were waving was not the flag of present-day Iran, but the flag of the Shah. A lot of them were very shocked and upset when they were informed of that. So there's been a lot of counter-propaganda trying to say, well, it's really the flag of ancient Persia, and it's really this, and it's really that, and it's not the flag of the Shah, and the current spin is, who cares? Big deal they're flying an older flag. It doesn't really matter. Yes, it does. And for the very simple reason, if you saw a group of German protesters, demonstrators, who were arguing for the overthrow of the present-day government of Germany, and they were flying the flag of Adolf Hitler, the swastika, would you not be worried what was on their mind if they're flying the flag of that particular individual? Of course you would. It would be very troubling to a lot of people to see a group of German protesters flying the flag of Adolf Hitler. We have the same situation here. We have a group of Iranian protesters who apparently are being duped into flying the flag of a despotic tyrant. More to the point, of his son, who is actively trying to regain the throne of Iran. So you've got to be very, very careful. In any event, I put this page up at whatreallyhappened.com. It's called Iran Protests, the Flag of the Shah. Take a look at it. Feel free to relink it, repost it everywhere, because the people of Iran who are out there flying these flags need to understand just exactly what message they are sending to the world by flying that particular flag. Now, the other thing that the protesters have out there, they have the photo of Nada. She's the branding, she's the symbol, the martyr of the cause. And it turns out the photo of the live woman with the little head scarf and the beautiful smile, and she's a lovely young lady, it's not the girl who got shot. They're actually two different people. And it turns out the woman who was killed in the streets of Tehran was named Neda Aga Sultan. The woman in the photograph is named Neda Sultani. Very similar name. Apparently somebody went searching the web for that name, found this photo of this other woman and said, oh, that's her, because they look a lot alike, and that's the photo that's out there. But it's the wrong photo. It's not really the woman who was killed. The woman in that photo the live woman in the photo is still alive and probably a little bit amused about all this attention her picture is getting all over the place. Now, this whole situation about Nada's shooting is getting weirder and weirder. And I want to preface this with a flashback where just a few months ago, Iran arrested some of their own militia volunteers, the Basij, as Israeli spies. There was another incident where some of the Basij were turned out to be CIA infiltrators. So now we have this doctor who was with the young lady who was killed, who is saying that a militiaman killed the protester, killed the girl. Now, is it a genuine militiaman, or is it one of these infiltrators, or is it somebody in a costume? But here's kind of the interesting story. This doctor is already back in Great Britain. He lives and works there. He doesn't actually live in Iran. He was just there long enough to catch this girl, take her down to the ground, be on the video with her, and he's back out, back in Great Britain. Now, he's a doctor technically, because he completed medical school, but he doesn't practice. He's actually a fiction writer and self-publisher. He's got a website. We link to it to whatreallyhappened.com. And if you read his website, he absolutely, absolutely hates the current government of Iran. He's not unbiased in this matter. He's not unbiased at all. Now, Iran's ambassador to Mexico was on CNN's The Situation Room today with Wolf Blitzer and came out and basically said that the CIA is the most likely assassin for Nada in order to create a new martyr for the cause as the claims over the election fraud began to lose traction. Now, Brent Scowcroft has come out admitting the U.S. has got spies operating inside Iran right now. So the situation is continuing to get more and more interesting. More and more interesting as the time goes on. Now, turning away from Iran, as the situation in Iran starts to stumble, and, okay, for those of you following it, the LA Times has come out and said, yes, Michael Jackson has passed away, so no more moonwalking. I couldn't do it anyway. So, all right, getting back to the situation. As the coup in Iran appears to have failed, and I think this is a tremendous victory. And I'm not saying that in the context of whether I support the present government of Iran or not. Frankly, I could care less. I really don't care. I actually, when the election was still being running, I was thinking it might not be a bad thing if Mousavi won, because then all the justifications for an invasion of Iran vanished, because it was all tied with Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad is doing nukes. Ahmadinejad hates Israel. Ahmadinejad denies the Holocaust. Ahmadinejad wants to wipe Israel off the map. If Ahmadinejad had lost the election, The justification for a military intervention into Iran would have evaporated. Even Israel was saying their agenda was best served if Ahmadinejad won. So, what happens when the coup falls flat on its face, and why is it a good thing? I'll tell you when we come back from these words from our sponsors.
This is the GCN Radio Network. When all this twists and steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back. We're talking about the situation in Iran. The propaganda war, the attempt at a coup d'etat, appears to have stumbled rather badly. The propaganda has fallen apart. I think one of their biggest strategic mistakes was waving the flag of the Shah around where everybody could see it. I think that put off a lot of the support that they were getting towards this idea of overthrowing the entire government. Now, what may happen there is Henry Kissinger was saying if the coup d'etat failed, then there'd be a direct military intervention. So the situation in Iran is still very much fluid. My opinion is that if the United States is going to go in and destroy another country, they should do it overtly and let the world see the blood on their hands. this sneaking around stuff that they've been doing in Guatemala and Cuba and the Philippines and Iran before and all these other places. We all know it's being done now. So this idea that they can overthrow another country and act like they have nothing to do with it, you know, with President Obama up there saying it's patently untrue. Well, I'm sorry. We know otherwise. Now, I've had a lot of people who've criticized me for my position and saying, oh, you're a thug and you support this and you support that. I don't really care about Iran. I really don't. What I want is a United States that is honorable and respectable and basically along the lines of the Constitution and the model the Founding Fathers set up. Why I say the stumble and fall of the coup d'etat is a good thing is very simple. And it's got nothing to do with Iran. It has to do with shaking the confidence of those covert agencies in the U.S. government who still believe, here in the 21st century, they still believe that they can lie and deceive the people of the United States and the rest of the world, playing the games that worked at the height of the Cold War. There's a bunch of old Cold War fossils in the inner recesses of CIA and NSA and the permanent government, the unelected permanent government. And they still think the game is played by the rules that worked 50 years ago. And this may have been the object lesson to them that the world really has changed, that the very nature of information flow is now different through the population, and the old ways won't work. And it is time for the United States to learn some new behavior patterns, to adapt to the new environment if it is to survive. So the stumbling of this coup d'etat, its exposure to the world, should, I hope, shake the confidence, the overconfidence of those people inside the halls of government, that they can't get away with lying us and tricking us into supporting the overthrow of another government, which has done absolutely nothing wrong to us at all, except want to charge full market price for their petroleum. So that's kind of where we are with that one. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We've got a caller, Jeff in Pennsylvania. Aloha, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah, I mean, I have to disagree with you about Iran. You know, we're living in the greatest country that God has given man. And
not anymore.
We have a duty to support democracy in this world, Mike.
Well, then why didn't you go along with the election they just had where Ahmadinejad won? There's no evidence of vote fraud, certainly compared to what we have in 2000 and 2004 here in the United States. I'm seeing all these people so concerned about the honesty of the election in Iran. Where were you when it was the American elections being stolen so obviously? It's very hypocritical for people to get up and say we're fighting for democracy in Iran while waving the flag of a tyrant and a dictator. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, this thing has fizzled is the bottom line here. And I know you've got an opinion that's different from mine, and that's okay, but you're coming out here with this idea that this is all about supporting democracy. We're not. The U.S. is overthrowing democracies. They did it in Iran in 1953. They did it in Guatemala. They did it in Cuba. They did it in the Philippines. They're trying to repeat it again in Iran, and it is failing, and that is really good news here. So this idea, yeah, I mean, ever since Woodrow Wilson said we're going to make the world safe for democracy, it is an excuse. We're not really bringing democracy. I'll tell you what, go through every 30 military interventions by the United States around the world since the end of World War II. I dare you to find one where we actually put a democracy in place. You won't. We have created zero democracy for some 30 military interventions that were always sold to the American people, that we're bringing democracy to these countries. It doesn't work. The people who are over there in Iran, and let me put it to you this way. Just think about this for a second. The people who are protesting, Mousavi's supporters, represent only one-third of the population of Iran. So if they knock down Ahmadinejad and Mousavi gets in, and let's say the thing with the Shah doesn't pan out, and Mousavi's in place and his people are in power, they're still only representing one-third of the population of Iran. Do you think they're going to allow true democracy? The instant they do, they'll be voted back out of office again. And so by necessity, Mousavi and his backers would have to prevent democracy simply to hang on to power. There is no solution with this overthrow idea that is going to bring democracy to the Iranian people. If the Shah comes in, he's a monarch. No democracy there. If Mousavi gets in, they're going to have to prevent democracy simply to hang on to power. There is no democracy in the offering here. It is simply a repeat of 1953. 3. And that's what's going on. And the good news is it has stumbled and fallen flat on its face, and it's, you know, it's coming apart. Like I said, if Mousavi is down to, like, throw balloons out the window, this thing is over. Which is probably why, all of a sudden, in between the celebrity news, which is going to dominate the corporate media for the next week at least, we're hearing once again about North Korea is the threat. North Korea is threatening to wipe, blah, blah, blah. The same hype we were getting from, you know, about Ahmadinejad. You know, they're launching missiles, they're building bombs. Our government is desperate for a war. They understand, just as you do, that absent a major, major war, much bigger than Iraq and Afghanistan, which are not going too well, absent a huge war, the American people are going to put the blame for the economic disaster where it belongs, on the federal government, on the Federal Reserve. They were trying to get a coup d'etat in Iran so they could go in and make Iran the big distraction away from the economy. That is failing. It has stumbled badly. And especially now, and I don't want to say ill about Michael Jackson, but now that he has died, I'm already seeing on the trend lines on Twitter, Iran is gone. It is all Michael Jackson on the Twitterverse. They are at the top, and Farrah Fawcett. They have taken over the focus of the Twitterverse. So even that venue is now being denied to the propagandists for the overthrow. It's coming apart. The wheels have come off the coup d'etat, and that's a very good thing. Not because they care about Iran, but because the best way, the only way, to prevent a new false flag attack, to prevent a new Pearl Harbor, to prevent a new world war, is to shake the confidence of those who want that war, to give them pause, to make them think just for a minute that maybe they might not be believed, that maybe the propaganda isn't going to work, that maybe they can't control the minds of Americans the way they were able to 50 years ago, that it just doesn't work anymore. That's the real, real import, meaning of the fall of the coup d'etat in Iran. It means that the old tricks don't work, and maybe, maybe, saner heads inside the government of the United States are going to realize that and pick up on that. And say, okay, we can't play the game that way anymore. Maybe it's time to grow and evolve and mature and learn a better way to get along with our fellow countries on planet Earth. As Shakespeare would say, 'tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. Anyway, now moving right along here. And getting up into Pakistan, apparently, in yet another undeclared war, the United States is flinging these drones into Pakistan. They're carrying missiles and they're robotic aircraft, and they're basically flying in and they're bombing targets, saying, oh, there's a prominent militant, prominent Taliban or prominent Al-Qaeda or whatever name they're using here. Apparently, one of these drones with a missile attacked a funeral. Talk about tacky and tasteless. In South Waziristan on Tuesday, and they killed 60 people. No prominent militants. Now, you tell me, do you see any real difference between a drone-fired missile and a suicide bombing in terms of the results on the ground? It's still an act of terror striking at random into civilians. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231.
800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going right to the phones. Art in Hawaii. Aloha, brah. How's it?
Aloha, Mike. Nice to be back on the show. I was calling because it was a very interesting thing I read yesterday by a former CIA individual, and he was bringing very interesting points about our relationship with Iran, how we don't, we have no communication with them whatsoever, and how they actually, what was impressive was, he was putting a point how Iran actually wants to be a power broker in the Middle East. And we're there trying to meddle in their politics, where we know it doesn't matter if it's Ahmadinejad or Mousavi, it's still the Khomeini in charge, the Ayatollah controlled. So if we just let them do what they have to do, because they have strength, they have the power to help Iraq, they have the power to help Afghanistan, we don't have to be out there. We have our own problems here. That way we can let them deal with those problems, and we don't have to be spending our treasure over there. That was my point I wanted to make.
Well, I think what's really going on here is all this talk that we're going into these other countries to help them is just utter nonsense. We're not doing that. The U.S. government is invading these other countries, covertly or overtly, in order to advance American corporate and governmental interests. You know, what is really the goal there is the oil. And, of course, the fact that Israel would love all of its large, powerful Middle Eastern neighbors broken up into little tiny chunks, the way that we just got done doing Iraq. Because Israel is a totally paranoid nation. They want other people's land, and they're concerned that other people might have the strength and power to prevent the land from being taken. And so that's really what's kind of going on out there. And this whole idea that we're throwing people into Iran and $400 million in CIA agents and all the rest of it because we want to bring those people democracy, they already had democracy. They just had an election which was far more honest and upright and open than the 2000 and 2004 elections here in the United States. And it is just amazing, as I was telling Jeff there. Let's not worry about democracy in the rest of the world until we know we've got it here. And right now, we don't.
Exactly. I totally agree with that point. And the one last point I wanted to make is my best wishes are with Cynthia McKinney and them in the Free Gaza boats. She's a true patriot, and I hope her the best. And I will let someone of the caller get on. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. You got it. Thank you very much. And mahalo for the phone call. Yes, Cynthia is a true heroine. She has gone up against AIPAC. It has not always worked out well for her, as AIPAC is very, very brutal in dealing with anybody it perceives as an enemy of Israel. But I remember the first time I became aware of Cynthia McKinney was during the attack on Afghanistan that immediately followed 9/11, when we were going to go in and do regime change again. We kicked out the Taliban because the Taliban would not come to an agreement with this oil company consortium for a pipeline right of way. And so this consortium went before Congress and said, we have to have regime change in Afghanistan so we can harvest our oil and gas. And the U.S. government said, sure, okay. And then in the spring of 2001, simply told other countries around the world, we're going to invade Afghanistan in October of 2001. Here in the United States, we didn't get that. We were getting Gary Condit and Chandra Levy all the time. And then September 2001, we had 9/11, exactly when the War Hawks needed it to anger the American people to support a war into Afghanistan. And one of the things that they were doing in Afghanistan, the U.S. government was doing this. They were dropping, supposedly for humanitarian reasons, they were dropping these food packages, yellow and black food packages. Oh, aren't we wonderful? We're really sweethearts. But it also turned out that the cluster bomb munitions were also painted yellow and black. Same typeface. They looked virtually identical. And Cynthia McKinney stood up in Congress and said, look what we're doing. These people in Afghanistan can't read English. They don't know that this is a food package and that this is a cluster bomb. They're picking it up thinking it's something to eat. They try and open it. It blows off and they lose their hands. And Cynthia McKinney was right to point this out because this was the same dirty trick the Soviets had been doing in Afghanistan, where they were dropping small children's toys that were rigged with explosives. So the kids would pick up the toy. They'd lose both their hands. The parents would be having to take care of them and would not be available to resist the Soviets. It's the same dirty trick. Cynthia McKinney called everybody on one night and said, boy, there's a gutsy lady. And I have been following her and a fan of her ever since. I'm overjoyed that we're in communication. I hope that she and the rest of the Free Gaza people are going to be okay, because attention does need to be brought to the fact that Israel is still committing war crimes against the people of Palestine. Mass punishment, collective punishment, whatever you want to call it, enforced starvation and thirst are all considered war crimes. And how dare anybody in the United States go over and say that Iran having an election that just didn't go the way the U.S. wanted is a big, huge crisis. At the same time, they say, well, it's no big deal about what's going on in Palestine. As I pointed out yesterday, there are videos of peaceful, nonviolent Palestinian protesters being gunned down by Israeli troops. Live on video. The gunshot, everything. Didn't get the coverage NATO did, because NATO is useful to sell war on Iran. And dead Palestinians are not useful because Israel doesn't like it when they go on TV. And that is the dichotomy that lies at the heart of this propaganda machine, which is even now still trying to prove that it can direct the American people to hate who we're told to hate, to attack who we're told to attack, to love who we're told to love. The actual facts of the matter notwithstanding. And it didn't work. And as I said before earlier in the show, the greatest import, the most significant aspect of the fact that the coup d'etat in Iran appears to have stumbled, is that it should shake the confidence of those people at the core of the American intelligence establishment. It should remind them maybe they can't play the game anymore by the rules that worked in the 1950s and 1960s. Maybe it's time to learn some new methods of dealing foreign policy. Maybe it's time to sort of outgrow, just like we had to outgrow the period of conquest and imperialism, maybe it's time to outgrow the period of covert overthrow and say we need to treat all nations with the same respect and straightforwardness as we wish for them to deal with us. And somebody has to have the strength of moral character. Some world leader has to have that strength of moral character to stand up and say, everybody, the rest of you heads of state, listen, we're going to try something a little different in terms of how to get along. And it's going to involve all of us saying that we're going to surrender for a little while this idea that we should conquer more of the world than we presently sit on. And let's just see if maybe, instead of investing the wealth of our populations on the killing of each other, that we can start to perhaps invest the strength and intelligence and productivity of our people to simply build a better world. And get away from this idea that we must find some way to grind up work product by the people in order to keep them poor and subservient and under control. And maybe it is time for all 5.5-6 billion human beings to get a chance to really make a better world for all of us together. And I know that sounds very idealistic, and you know something? It is. Deal with it. All right. Well, I'm watching the media feed in here. And this is a comment on the media, not on the celebrity news here, but it is all Michael Jackson all the time. As far as the corporate TV networks are concerned, there is nothing else going on. They're showing the crowds of his adoring fans and mourners and whatever are already starting to gather around UCLA Medical Center. And it's turning into a circus, and it's going to be a media circus. And, it's just the way our culture sells its stuff. It's just amazing. Now, finally, last story I want to go in today. Remember way back when, speaking of trying to sell a war in Iran, remember when they were selling the war in Iraq back in 2002, 2003, what a bad guy Saddam Hussein was? Well, apparently, some documents were declassified today, which reveal that Saddam Hussein wanted an alliance with the United States. He didn't want to be our enemy. He wanted to be our friend. He was concerned about Iran because of the Iran-Iraq war, which the U.S. had kicked up to go after Iran, and that didn't work. Saddam wanted an alliance with the United States, and the U.S. said, no, you're more useful to us as a villain. They did the same thing with Castro. When Fidel Castro took over Cuba from Batista, the first thing he did is say to the U.S., let's normalize relations. And the U.S. said, heck no, you're more useful to us as a dire threat down there. And that's what forced Castro to form an alliance with the Soviet Union. A little bit of history there. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back tomorrow for our Friday show at 5 p.m. Central Time here on Genesis Communication. Until then, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, be skeptical, be angry, and aloha, America.